Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you've had a good week. I've been on the other side of the microphone this week. You can hear me on as a guest on Venus O'Hara's podcast. Venus O'Hara is a sexpert. Yes, there is such a thing. And it's called the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast. My bit isn't too X-rated, but we do talk about intimacy and, you know, and dealing with emotions and all of that stuff. So, have a listen to that, the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast. We talk about my sober journey, if you like, and you know, so much of the stuff that I've come to realise over the last 3 years, 8 months, she says, dropping that little sober streak in there, you know, around how we handle our emotions when we're not drinking. And of course, sober sex is a very big part of that. We've said many times before that there's, you know, a good number of people who would never have had sex sober. What a sobering thought, my goodness. So anyways, yeah, you can have a listen to me there. What else do I have to share with you? We had another Sober by the Sea. Have I spoken to you since then? I don't know. Anyways, it was fantastic. It was just amazing to see transformations. People who are kind of just come in kind of all a bit chaotic and leave just feeling really, really clear on what it is they want for themselves, which is wonderful. So we do have spaces on our event on Saturday, the 25th of September. So just go to thesoberclub.com/events and have a look if that's for you. What else do I want to share with you? Let me see. We have the pop-up shop, which is obviously with my imperfectly natural hat on, my recommendations of natural products and services. I run my Platinum Awards every year, and we've got a pop-up shop, a non-toxic pop-up shop. What that means is you can get to see some of the amazing products that are entered into the awards, some of the lovely natural and organic skincare and sustainable stuff that we recommend at Hello Love Studio in Bloomsbury. So that starts on the 13th of September, runs through to the 30th. So if you're going to be in London, it's really worth taking a trip to their lovely, funky little studio and vegan cafe. It's just a great vibe. I hope you can go along there. I'm going to be doing the awards announcement on the 15th of September. So for anyone who's got a natural brand who's also listening into this, it's super exciting. I just love sharing this stuff. And I do think everything that I do links together really well, because it's amazing how often people who start the sober journey, then, you know, a few months in, they say to me, I'm really getting stressed about what I'm putting on my skin, you know, because I'm realizing that I'm not drinking alcohol anymore, but I'm sure as heck putting it on my skin along with a whole load of other, you know, potentially toxic bunch of chemicals. So have you got any suggestions? So I think all these things really do link together. It really is that holistic picture. That's what makes such a massive difference. There's been some lovely triumphs in the Sober Club this week, some lovely celebrations. One woman, I'm sure she won't mind me telling you, I won't name her, but she actually has bought a camper van with the money she saved. That is so cool. With the money she saved from not drinking, she's bought herself a camper van. How cool is that? This really literally is life-changing stuff going on here. So make sure you check out the Sober Club if you haven't already. It just makes such a difference to be connected with like-minded people. And it doesn't matter if you're on day one or year six. We have everything in between, because we're focusing on what we want, on creating that life that we love. My guest this week is Laurie Delahunty, and she's got such a fascinating story to share. Laurie runs Vegan Happy Clothing, a really great brand, and I came across her because this was linked to my awards and the stuff that I'm doing with the Platinum Awards. But then I suddenly found this whole backstory that Laurie has, so fascinating. So I thought I'd love her to share her story with you on the podcast. But before we do that, The number of times people will say to me, oh, I haven't found an alcohol-free drink that I like yet, you know, because I used to drink X or I used to drink Y, so I haven't really found anything. And recently someone was saying to me, well, actually, I really like good cider, like proper craft cider, and I haven't found anything. So this is for you, because this brand, Celtic Marches, have got literally the most amazing, actually craft alcohol-free cider. So I thought let's have a chat with Colette and Sue.
My guests are Colette Coombs and Susan Vaughan from Celtic Marches, and I absolutely love the whole idea of this brand, because I know that you've been doing this stuff, well, not you personally, but for eight generations, Celtic Marches have been farming in luscious Herefordshire orchards. How are you doing, guys?
Really well, thanks. Yep, good to be with you today.
Good to chat to you. So what we're talking about here is eight cider apple varieties from this amazing cider brand. And the whole concept is based around this lovely strapline, pip to pint, which is just great. So before we get on to talking about the, you know, the alcohol-free offerings you've got, can one of you just tell us a bit about the traditional values and maybe how it all started, and just tell us, you know, maybe paint a little picture for us of this apple farm.
All right, so here we are in the rolling countryside of Herefordshire over on the Welsh borders, where we have just under 200 acres of commercial apple orchards. And we press them all, put them all into large tanks and let the juice ferment away until it's ready February / March time.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to growing apples, how much is it affected, you know, by the weather? Is it, you know, are you sort of panicking? Right.
Yes,
okay. So
totally.
So what's it been like for the last couple of years then?
Not too bad at all. It's been quite reasonable this year. We like lots of rain, but also lots of lovely hot sun.
Right.
And we had a lovely blossom time during May. And the apple harvest is looking very good at the moment.
So Colette, what happened then when you guys decided to create a low alcohol, or a, you know, 0.5% alcohol, you know, low alcohol cider? What was the decision around that?
So we were looking at the range that we provide now, craft ciders, and looking at the market and seeing if there's any areas we could develop our range more. And it was highlighted that the low and no alcohol sector of the drinks industry was growing. Some people just choosing not to drink now, or choosing low alcohol options. We saw it as a great opportunity to develop a low alcohol cider.
Mm. And I mean, cider is interesting how it's still popular after all these years. In fact, it's made a bit of a comeback, really, hasn't it, in the UK?
Definitely. We were a bit slower behind the craft beer movement. And I always say that people have a cider tale to tell from their youth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's usually what we start drinking, isn't it? And yeah. Teenagers and uni, yeah. Or whatever. Yeah, because
definitely.
It's cheap, I suppose. That's actually the reason. That's the truth of it, isn't it? But I'm not sure
yeah.
That's quite the case now. So the Holly Golightly, which, by the way, is just a fabulous name, the low alcohol apple, is gluten free and vegan. Is that right?
It is, correct, yeah. Our full range is gluten-free and suitable for vegans. And because we have the pip-to-pipe process, we have the control over the growth of our apples and what goes into our products, right down to the packaging of them.
Right. So what does that actually mean then, this pip-to-pipe, which is a fabulous phrase?
So we are pip-to-pipe within 5 miles. So we grow our own cider apples. We don't buy anything in. And then when they're ready after fermentation at the farm, they are then moved over to our packaging factory, which is 5 miles down the road. So we have really low food miles and full control over our production from pip to pint.
Excellent. So Sue, just tell us what the other alcohol-free products you've got them. So we've mentioned the low alcohol apple that's in bottles or cans. Tell us about the others.
Well, we've got low alcohol Holly Golightly apple. We've got low alcohol Holly Go Lightly Rosé. Then we have pulp apple low alcohol and pulp rosé low alcohol. And they're all extremely popular. We've been very, very pleased with the uptake of them to date. And we've just entered the Canadian market. So we're starting to actually export our low alcohol products as well now, which is very exciting.
Excellent. Yeah. I love your branding. I mean, it's really funky. You've obviously worked hard on that and it looks great. And I'm sure that's part of the deal here, because, you know, just because you're not drinking alcohol doesn't mean you want, you know, your bottle and your can not to look good. So I'm sure that was all part of your thinking when you designed these. Are you in the bars and restaurants at the moment?
Yes, we are. We're in, but you could ask us to name bars and restaurants we're in. Of course, we sell our products through wholesalers and distributors.
Yeah.
And therefore, we don't always know the end venue where they end up. Quite often, we can go into a venue and say, oh, there's our product. You know, and we take a photograph, send it to our social media ladies, and we give it a really good shout.
Brilliant. So anyways, but people can buy the product direct from your website as well.
Yeah, through our own Shopify shop and numerous others online.
Yeah. Do you want to give us that website then?
Over to you, Colette. You're better than me at doing that.
At CelticMarches.com, which will lead right through to the shop, and at pulp-cider.co.uk.
Brilliant. Wish you all the best for the future. Maybe if we have you back in a year, it'll be fascinating to see what's happened in the low alcohol drinks market generally, and for your fabulous ciders. That would be good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, Colette and Sue from Celtic Marches. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Bye-bye.
So don't forget, there is a chance as well to win some, like a whole pack of Celtic Marches cider. I think it's worth about $26.99, something like that. So it's a really nice pack that we've got to give away. And you've got to be in it to win it. Don't forget any of that stuff. As promised, let's talk being a vegan, anti-aging, going from rock bottom right to happiness.
I'm really pleased to say my guest is Laurie Delahunty, who has the Vegan Happy clothing brand. I'm really looking forward to hearing about that. And such a fascinating story. I loved reading about the fact that you were a finalist in Ireland's Most Beautiful Vegan Over 50 competition. How cool is that?
Yeah, UK and Ireland. It was so funny. It was just a lovely thing that happened in lockdown. It was just...
Love it. Anyways, welcome. So before we talk about vegan happy clothing, which I love the sound of, tell us a little bit about your story, because I know what's, you know, kind of interesting about you is that, you know, it's not all been plain sailing, right? You've had your moments, including a brush with the booze, to say the least. So yeah, take us back in time.
Oh my God, so much really. So I think the most significant change was I got to 50 and I just had to take stock a little bit, really. It wasn't that, you know, I looked at anything. It was just, I don't know, an epiphany happened. And yeah, I read what you write on your website about just you felt like booze was stealing your joy. And that's sort of like what I felt, really. You know, nothing had made me quit before. I'd nearly died a couple of times. But it was just, I think I just got tired of it all. I think I sort of like felt that my energy was going and I was just being
can I just chip in there and ask, am I right in thinking your family were all big drinkers, so this was something that you kind of did?
My mum and dad were definitely alcoholics.
Were they?
Alcohol was you know, denial on one side, definitely, and my dad died quite young with breast cancer, so you know I can't even ask him questions about it, really. But my mum's still alive, but you know I grew up with a lot of drink around me and like hidden drinking. Which I didn't get to. I mean, I was quite open about, you know, I'm having a big glass of wine, then another one, and then another one. But I was definitely heading down that road where I would have started to hide it, I think.
Yeah. So when you got to this point then, you just thought, you know, that's it, I've had enough. What did you do then? How did you get out of that spiral?
I went to an awards do and I sat next to this guy who had been telling me about his wife giving up smoking. Everyone was like, as soon as there was a gap, everyone ran outside to have a cigarette and we were left on our own. There was like 1,500 people and then two people sort of thing. Really funny. And I thought, oh, I wonder if there's an Alan Carr Stop Drinking book. And there was. So I literally ordered it and read it. And I sort of like, I put it down to that, but everyone says, no, I think you were at that point. You were waiting for that little trigger. Mm. I think I just stopped having fun. I'd started to get a bit worried and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But I literally just spoke to a random chap at an awards do and read this book. And then I just thought, you know, I need a different life, really. You know, I'm just not, like you say about the 6 o'clock witch, you know, like I would get to lunchtime and I'd be making excuses from about 11 o'clock in the morning to meet someone for lunch. You know, it was consuming a lot of money and a lot of my conscious, like, thinking time.
Yeah.
You know, like meet friends after work and then meet friends at lunchtime and, you know, what we're doing at the weekend and have I got booze in the fridge? And I think I just, one of the best things since giving up is my thoughts aren't consumed with booze, whereas before they were very much my prevailing thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. And how long ago was that then?
I've been sober 5 years in March.
Oh, so wow. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And then presumably before that, was it I think there was other stuff going on. Did your marriage break up? Am I right in thinking? So there's been some other.
Yeah, 2007. We had 7 deaths that year. Well, the 7th death was our marriage, but we had 6 family deaths.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really close people, you know, like grandparents, my husband's dad, you know, my best friends in a car crash. It's just horrific. And we just couldn't cope, really. And our marriage broke up. You know, we'd been together, you know, from when we were very young, had 2 children, and we just grieved in different ways and couldn't cope. So, yeah, so that was one of those things. And funny enough, when we got back together, oh, I haven't told you that one. when we did get back together many years later, after divorce and everything, he had never asked me to give up drinking. So we actually got back together when I was still like maximum drinking. Mm. So it was and we had a really horrible time. And that's part of the reason why the marriage broke up, really, because, you know, the way I coped was, you know, working more, losing myself in work, you know, meeting friends for drinks, you know, drowning my sorrows, if you like. And I realized that I'm a really emotional drinker. So if I was happy, I'd drink. If I was sad, I'd drink. If I was worried, I was drink. If I had a phone call I had to make to someone, you know, a brown envelope arrived in the post or something, I would have a drink before I did it. So I recognized that I was a really emotional drinker. And of course, you know, when I had all that grief, that's the first thing that I used as my crutch, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what changed for you then when you stopped? I mean, I'm guessing you saw so many benefits. We wouldn't have long enough to talk about them. But what do you remember being sort of noticeable about, you know, sort of the best stuff that came in first for you?
Yeah. So I need to backtrack slightly because I'd given up for 2 months before, and a friend of mine, which I didn't think I knew, a friend of mine spiked my drinks.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I can only have one. That'd be fine. I can handle this. So that taught me that I actually couldn't handle it having one. So I know now, for me, and I think with drinking generally, I think it's an all or nothing thing. I think when people say they can control it, the answer is you just can't. You know, I've got friends that go to AA like 5 times a week, and you know, they still think they could have one, but they know really that you can't. If you're going to choose to give up drinking, you have to
just for the record, just so you know, lots of people on the podcast will know that my take on this is that number one, I never use the phrase giving up. I always say ditching the booze, because you're not giving anything up, as you know. But in terms of the this, can you just have one thing? I genuinely think that if you are someone who does not have an off switch, i.e. you're listening to this podcast, or you're in any way interested in this stuff, then you don't have an off switch, end of. However, if you are someone who does have an off switch, you can absolutely have one drink, just like I can have one kiwi fruit. Or do you know what? Tomorrow I might even have 3 kiwi fruits, and then I might not have a kiwi fruit for 3 years.
No,
because I'm not addicted to them. I have an off switch when it comes to kiwi fruits, and it might just mean I binge and then I forget about it. But if you don't have an off switch, you're consumed by it the whole time. So those people absolutely can't have one.
I completely agree with you. You're absolutely right. My saying is always that if you've got your handle on it, so I think you've got better terminology for it than me, but if you've got your handle on it and you can just have one or two, that's great. You know, like my husband will have a couple of drinks and, you know, like he won't even finish the bottle. And like, for me, that would never have happened. I'd have always like, oh, I've got to finish the bottle. So for me, I'm like you're saying, is that I mean, I'm like that with so many things. You know, I if I'm having a little bit, I want a lot of it. You know, if I work a little bit, I'll work a lot. So I've just got that compulsive tendency that, you know, if I like something, I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. You know, if you can control alcohol and you just know when to stop, like you say, I think that why not? You know, I think we're very different people if that's the case. You know, my husband is a very different person to me. And, you know, I'll actually go out with him to the pub. I love going to the pub. I absolutely love it. So, you know, we'll go to the pub on a Friday afternoon. I'll just sit there with pots of tea and have just a good a time. And I think you said a minute ago, what did I notice changed? Mm. I kept waiting for my life to be really boring. I kept waiting for all this boringness to happen because I wouldn't be having all this fun and I wouldn't be having all these amazing times out. And then what I realized is nothing changed in the negative, but only positive changes happened.
Yeah.
I had more energy, my skin started glowing, I lost 4 stone. I had
Lucky you. That doesn't happen to everyone.
I was drinking loads of it was wine. So you know, I had loads of energy. I thought there was like 48 hours in every day because I had all this time. I started having time for exercise because before, obviously, I was drinking from lunchtime, so I only had 3 hours in the morning to do anything. So yeah, I just kept waiting for all this, I don't know, boringness to happen, all this no one inviting me out anymore and all this that stuff. And then what actually happened was the complete opposite. So, you know, I could drive places. I started doing more. I started traveling to see things, or I'd visit a restaurant 50 miles away because I didn't need to get a taxi back. And so this whole like new world opened up.
It is true, isn't it? It is a whole new world. You start to see life in all its kind of lovely technicolor, really, don't you? And you start to have the energy to do things that you wouldn't do before. It's really true. I know you kicked off into exercise as well. And, you know, and I suppose it's all about sort of finding who you really are, don't you, when you ditch the booze?
Yeah, I think you've hit on something there. Absolutely. I did have to do quite a lot of almost like soul searching when I went sober, and I don't know if you found this, but I can only describe it as, you know, as like an onion, all these layers.
Yeah.
And I had to confront quite a lot about myself that I liked and I didn't like, and like a lot about myself, and then I had to examine quite a lot. And but it made me sort of like it made me be able to reassess things completely and decide which parts of me I wanted to discard and which parts of myself that I actually wanted to keep. So I sort of like reformed myself.
Yeah,
really.
So yeah. True. I know. I love that. So tell us about that. What happened with setting up the business then? How did that come about?
My dog had a bad accident one night, and I came back and I'd paid loads of money for my dog to get, you know, fixed at the vets at 2 a.m. and went to the freezer and took chicken out. And I was like, it was like a light bulb went on. And I thought, what are we doing? So I literally, the next morning, I woke up and I thought, oh my God, I've gone vegan. I don't even like vegetables. So what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? And so that set us on the road to going vegan. And one of the first things that happens when you're vegan is you want to tell the world, really. You're super proud. And one of the things that happens, you've got loads of energy, a bit like when you quit booze, you get all this energy and you're like a newfound life. And I wanted to wear something that said, you know, I'm vegan, but only I could find slammed meat eaters. And I didn't feel like that. I felt full of love and compassion. And so I set about designing my own, really. And I, you know, I didn't expect it to take off. You know, it was probably more of an indulgence, but it's actually taken off and it's flying. And our thing is all about a really subtle logo, so you can spark the conversation with someone without someone feeling off put. So, you know, sorry, put off. So they're not afraid to ask you. They're not afraid to come up to you, you know, and, you know, we love everyone, basically. We, you know, we don't want to wear something that slams meat eaters or anything like that.
Brilliant. It's so exciting, isn't it? When I mean, I've heard this kind of story so many times when people ditch the booze and then, as you say, they do get in touch with which parts of themselves they want to keep and which they don't. And then from that place, new stuff emerges, you know, people who write book or they go back to uni or they start a business, as you say. It's absolutely amazing. Do you think you would have done that if you hadn't stopped drinking?
No, I don't think so. I think I was going down a path that I'd set and I was very much trapped in it. You know, I was trapped in the earning, I was trapped in the, you know, the mindset that I had, very much money chasing, client chasing, like agency world, that sort of thing. No, it was definitely, it came from the it came from the ditching drink. It came from the awakening.
From your passion, really, didn't it?
Yeah, I think I, like, giving up the drink was such a, like, a rebirth.
Mm.
I can only think that, you know, it definitely came from that. And, you know, you start examining so many parts of yourself. You know, you get fitter, you get healthier, you wear different things, you know, you feel different, you look in the mirror and you look different. And for me, I think my mind was so bogged down with childhood. I don't like to use the word trauma because I think a lot of people had worse childhoods than me, but, you know, lack of confidence and negativity and stuff like that. And when that goes, you've sort of like got this big open road and you think there's nothing. I felt like there was nothing I couldn't do. Mm. You know, I have the drinking now, so there's nothing I couldn't do. And going back to it, I just felt like I had 48 hours in every day. And to be honest, I needed something to fill my time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the other thing that happens to people. What am I going to do with all this time? I know, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Just talk to me a little bit about the whole, you know, I mean, we started off by saying that you were part of this, you were voted, I've lost where it said, most beautiful vegan over 50 competition. I'd love the whole sound of that. That's great. I mean, you know, there is still a thing, isn't there, about women as we get older? You know, are we still beautiful? How do we, you know, respond to it? It's such a thing, this. And again, I think that sobriety really impacts on this massively. It was one of the really big things for me before I ditched the booze, was that I was so afraid of getting old. I mean, really afraid and very depressed about it, because I couldn't see anything other than a future where I looked so much worse and I felt so much worse. And there was nothing, it felt as though nothing was ever going to get any better. You know, it was only going to go further south and I was only going to continue to look worse. And there's just this, there still is this perception that I don't know how much of it is other people's perception and how much of it is us, as it were. But all I know is it's completely changed. And now, you know, I can like myself and I am excited about the future. And so what if there's wrinkles and I'm a bit overweight? I mean, so what? Actually, so what? I never thought I'd hear myself say that. What's your take on this, you know, older women thing?
I mean, like, the thing is, like, I'm looking at you now in a podcast and I've seen your pictures, that, and the reason why you shine, like you say, is because you've got this inner light. And I think inner light comes from that you loving yourself now. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I didn't love myself and now I do. Mm. And sometimes people think that's a bad thing, and it's not, it's the best thing. And it doesn't mean you think you are the most beautiful vegan, because I thought that was such a funny thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit tongue in cheek, isn't it? But it's great.
Yeah, it's so tongue-in-cheek. And the contestants were all so varied. You know, we were by no means the most beautiful vegans out there. I think every person's so beautiful. But if I look at you, I can see you have an inner light, you know, and I think that comes from just being so much more secure in ourselves, which comes from we ditch drink, you know, we find out who we really are and what we want. And one of the things that happened to me is that I don't generally wear makeup now, which I would probably never have done before. In fact, one of my friends said to me, oh, Laurie, you used to be so glamorous. And I think that was my insecurity, meaning that I could only present this like uber polished look for the world.
Mm.
And I'd never gone out without makeup, without everything, just, you know, like the latest stuff, you know, designer handbags, you know, just up to the nines. Whereas now, you know, I've got dungarees on today, I've got a t-shirt, you know, I've got a little bit of makeup on today, but generally I don't wear makeup, because it is very much a take me or leave me now.
Mm.
If you love me, you're getting the real me, and I will never let you down. You know, if you don't really like me, then that's absolutely fine.
Yeah,
that definitely came with stopping drinking and fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I heard, I think it might have been Catelyn Moran actually, talking about, I think she wrote about it in her book, about how women tend to compartmentalize their body and, you know, have this kind of hatred for a certain part or more than one part. But we think of ourselves as disconnected parts. You know, so we're constantly walking around, you know, oh, I hate my cellulite thighs, and oh, I hate my bingo wings, or whatever it is, you know, terribly kind of destructive, negative language. Whereas actually,
we should, I mean, guys don't do that, do they? We don't, men don't do that about their bodies. You know, why can't we just see the whole? And I think we're more able to do that actually when we're able to, it just sounds like sobriety is the magic cure-all. Well, it really is. So there you go. Because it does help you have a different perspective of gratitude. So, you know, I'm now grateful for my body. Who cares if there's some, you know, wobbly bits?
No, exactly. And I think there's an Oscar Wilde quote I love. And he said, there's only one thing worse than getting older. And he said, that's not getting older.
Yeah, so true.
And I live by that now because, you know, I did nearly die a couple of times just from the booze. And
did you really? Did it get that bad?
You know, right. One time, broke my arm so badly it was internal bleeding another time, and
wow,
like knocking myself out, falling over, just like breaking my wrist, like loads of stuff. But I think for me now is I am actually really genuinely grateful just to be here. Genuinely. But also going back to what you were just saying a second ago, I think that we never see ourselves as other people see us.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think when people like look at you, or they look at me, or they look at anyone that they think is in any way like inspirational, like this, because people will look at you as being very inspirational because you are very, you know, the Sober Club is fantastic. You know, and what you're doing is fantastic. To help people see that it's not this great leap that they think it is. It's actually quite a small step if they're ready to take that step.
Yeah.
But when people look at us, they see a different person to the ones that we see. So we need to learn to see ourselves how maybe the world sees us, because
it's so true. And also, you know, the being a bit kinder to ourselves. I mean, that definitely happens when you stop drinking, doesn't it? I think sober people are more kind generally, but you do learn more about self-care. Obviously, that's my work through and through now, is that I'm trying to encourage people towards self-care. And you know, one of the best ways to take care of yourself is just to have the same thoughts and the same forgiveness as you would for someone you love, right? You know, someone you love unconditionally. But we're so hard on ourselves. We really are. Even now, you know, I catch myself sometimes. We still have to kind of remind ourselves, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
But tell us a little bit more about the brand then, what kind of clothes there are, and tell us where we can find them.
Yeah, so they're all like which fitted perfectly with lockdown, not that it was done that way, but more casual, like loungewear stuff. So we've got like, you know, joggers, workout gear, T-shirts, hoodies. Mm-hmm. We have, our most popular stuff is puffer jackets and beanies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And what makes it vegan then? Are we talking the fabrics, the dyes as well?
Yeah, so a lot of our stuff is PETA approved and 100% vegan, wrap certified, fair wear, fair trade. The few elements that aren't, so like for example, our puffer jackets are actually made with a recycled polyester. Mm-hmm. So it's not 100% cotton, but they are filled with recycled plastic. You know, they're made with recycled plastic. So we try and be as vegan as possible. But
there'll be people who are thinking, so why is cotton not vegan?
Exactly. A lot of clothes you get are vegan anyway, because, you know, if, as long as you look at, you know, the materials, everything like that, as long as it doesn't contain an animal product, it can be classed as vegan. But if you look at what we as a vegan think about the whole thing, it comes into, you know, how it's made.
Yeah, sustainability is so important.
Like, you know, female representation, you know, workers' rights, you know, workers'
rights. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love the fact that you're doing that, because, you know, that's the piece so many people forget, isn't it? You have to look beyond that, just that label. I remember years ago, in my very first book, which was, God knows, 15 years ago, I was writing about the fact that, you know, people kind of, you know, you wouldn't even think of something like cotton. And yet, when you actually look at what it takes in terms of resources to make regular cotton that you buy for less than the price of a coffee sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. Tell us where we can find the clothes.
Ah, so we're at veganhappyclothing.co.uk.
Brilliant. I love it. Thank you so much, Laurie. It's really good to chat to you. And I look forward to checking out the clothes and more of your work. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Laurie. Just a reminder then, if you do want connection, support, inspiration, accountability, check it out, thesoberclub.com. It is all there. I know I keep banging on about it, but, you know, it's low cost, it's
incredible value, you know, for what you get and, you know, for what you're paying. And it makes a real difference in people's lives. So have a look. Don't forget our Sober by the Sea event. We've got our Champneys event coming up too, but that one is sold out. But there is another one at Champneys Tring in November. I think it's November the 20th. So have a look at that as well. If you just go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, and it will give you the number to call or the link there to have a look. But don't forget, you can always drop me a message as well. If you are just starting out on this journey, if you're kind of new to it and you're still feeling a little bit wobbly and a little bit kind of caught in the headlights, don't try and do this alone. Whichever group you decide to join, doesn't have to be mine. There's loads of support out there. But do reach out. Do reach out and get some support. And tell someone you're doing it. Don't try and do it all on your own. Maybe not someone in your family. They may not be the best person to tell, because, you know, you really want to connect with someone who's been through it and has had shared experiences. Because, you know, there's a lot of questions you have in the early days. So do, you know, do share this with someone who cares. You can always send me a message. I love getting your feedback for the podcast, and I love hearing from people saying, listen, you know, you've finally worn me down, Janie. I've listened to 5 podcasts, or I've listened to your whole back catalogue, and I'm going to do it now. It's time. So, yeah, I love getting messages like that. So make sure you share this with someone. Make sure you make your commitment, and make sure you take care of yourself. The self-care piece is absolutely key. And obviously, if you need a bit of extra support, I do offer one-to-one coaching. I've got very, very limited slots, but that is something that I offer as well. So stay in touch. Have yourself a great week, and I'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.